to Arches of the North. We are recording in the middle of a wild, fun night for women's college basketball. We haven't recorded in a while, so we're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some NCAA. We're going to talk some MLB. We're going to talk all the acronyms that you know and love. And I'm joined tonight. We'll have everybody here in a little bit. But first, we got Slurp and Sam. How's it going, Slurper?
What's up? How are we doing? Yeah, honestly, I feel like we haven't recorded a pod in 2024 that was like not like prop bets, because we did the Super Bowl, but that was basically just like a get in, get out prop bet, right? I feel like we haven't talked like genuine sports in like forever.
Hey, if you don't think prop bets are sports, you're not doing it right.
Okay.
That's why you're not winning money.
Fair play.
Is true. We've talked several times about, oh, we should do an update on the NBA, and then we just never did until now we're like five games left in the season. Like, hey, let's talk about the playoffs. But there's like, also like 50 other things to talk about because, sports
so
is –
so much has happened.
This is the time we can talk about it, Kai, because no one else is here. The Brewers starting out 3-0, huh? How about that?
Ooh.
How about that, Brewers?
What are we on pace for, Josh, right now?
I honestly don't know how many games there are on the MLB season. 180? 182? 165? I don't know how many games there are.
162, yeah.
We're 162-0, basically, at this point.
I saw
a meme that the Mets have not won a game since September of last year.
Oh man! So that's wake me up when September ends, huh?
Tough look for the Mets. What was the salary cap thing? The Mets have like $330 million, and the Brewers have like 80 or something.
Right. Yeah, we don't make much money. We still beat you. Doesn't matter. Baseball.
Moneyball. Yeah. Watch it. Learn it. We're all hitting 200 for some reason, but we win. And I don't know any of our starting pitchers. Anyway, Brewers are 3-0. That was the most important thing I wanted to bring up today before the guys got here. We will at some point be joined by Ice. We will at some point be joined by Jesse. Is this a good time to talk about how sad we are about our brackets? Is this the moment? Should we wait until the other guys get here? Who was your winner? Who was your predicted winner, Kai?
I had Tar Heels winning it all. So that was tough. It's always tough when you lose your champion in the Sweet 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
Normally
you can go back. We go back and it's like, hey, you know what? No matter what, after the second weekend or the second day, I still have 7 of my Elite Eight or whatever. And this year that did not happen.
No. I was down to just like North Carolina and Creighton were it for me, basically. like that was like my entire bracket. And then they lost. And then I was just like, well, I have nothing left to root for.
So it says my highest points for are 230? That seems wrong, right? That seems low.
My project, I'm in the 8th percentile of brackets. That's good, right? Like this is...
You know, I'll be the contrarian, and I think this is just because I just noticed it this year, and I'm not doing great this year. I very much dislike the ESPN bracket future forecast thing, where it's like, hey, just so you know, I have a 0% chance to win. Yeah. It's like, oh, come
it's
on.
Like... It's very nice that trolling to reaffirm you that, yeah, mathematically impossible for you to get better than, like, ninth place in your bracket pool. Like,
so, look, yeah. I know you still have your champion there, but 8 other people also picked it, and you were worse than all of them. So you have no chance of winning. Like, because you can click on it, it'll say, here's the path to the championship. You're like, oh, sweet, let's see. And it says nothing. Like, you have no way to win, frowny face. Like, what are you doing?
I'm impressed you... still been looking at it because I really after the first weekend, well, I guess officially after North Carolina, but I just it's one of those things that you check it religiously early on when you're alive and doing well if your champ's alive, but once you lose them, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna look, like, I know I'm not winning, I'm not looking at that thing. So yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I guess I feel like if you're winning, you never truly get to feel that
because everyone else is checked out. Yeah,
no one else is actually paying attention.
I don't know who's going to win. I think AK has like the top two brackets somehow. So
I couldn't tell you. Well, he has Purdue because he's always the big – he's like AK's bit is like, I'm just going to pick the Big Ten to win it all every year. And like this is the year it might actually work for him.
But, yeah.
The
reason I keep checking is because I made two brackets. So I keep forgetting what I picked in each bracket. Like,
oh, no. Why would you do that?
So
that's too much.
I'll tell you,
too
you know,
to keep track of.
This is the safety, right? So I'm going to tell you why I made two brackets. Well, there are two reasons, both of them embarrassing. So the main reason is that I misunderstood that it automatically attached your bracket to a group.
Oh, so, no. So you came in with a bracket already.
I made my bracket, and then I clicked the group, and then I went back to the homepage, and I clicked a group I wanted to make the bracket in, and I thought it would just let me choose the bracket I just made. But then it popped up a brand new bracket. I'm like, well, I guess I'm filling out a second bracket. And then the main reason that I did it is because in my first bracket, the original, I had the Badgers beating Duke and making it to the Elite Eight. And I'm you know what? I need to hedge that a little bit. So then the second bracket, I had the Badgers losing in the first round. And then I felt like a genius. So it worked out for me.
Hey, were those the only two changes? You just did two identical
brackets? No, there are other things. I had Purdue making it further in my second bracket. Because I'm like, there's a world in which Purdue actually wins, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Right.
So like in the first bracket, I land them winning one game. And in the second, I had them going to the Final Four. You know, that kind of stuff. So
that kind of variance.
Yeah, yep. So I did add a couple things, and somehow I ended up with neither bracket doing really well, so that's great. It's just
so perfect. Split the difference.
If I combined my two brackets into one bracket, I may have done well, but here we are. So anyway.
Here we are. How many brackets would it take to get to a winning combo? Well,
was it how many games was it until there were no more perfect brackets? I think it was like – somebody made it through the first day at least.
It was Bijan Robinson, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bijan was the last one.
What a last man standing. But yeah, I think it was just through day one, like that Thursday. So that was like, what, the first eight games? Or I will say, this is the iconic stretch run of sports that is just unmatched. When you go basically, I would say it's mid-February on until this June stretch where you've got Super Bowl, then you've got NBA All-Star Game, then you've got March Madness.
Well, the NFL never really goes away because it also has like the free agency.
Free agency,
stuff
Yeah, what the heck? NFL free agency was actually like fun this year too. I feel like usually it's just like a bunch of interior offensive linemen doing stuff, and you're like,
we signed him for 3 years, $26 million. It's like that seems like a lot of money. I have no idea.
Like, I don't know who that guy is, but this year is like all these like skill position guys changing teams. So that was fun too. But then you get into like March Madness, and then you know as soon as that wraps up, NBA playoffs kick off, and then you got NBA Finals, and then even like I'm someone who like the first 2 days of baseball, I'll actually kind of get I've been reading about the Brewers, I've been watching some highlights. It's like we're undefeated. Like it's a fun stretch. Yeah.
That we'll talk more about this, but just in the grand scheme of things, just as we're looking big picture, I feel like the NBA, I feel like the playoff races are much more interesting this year than they normally are at this point in the season. Right, with like seven games left, I feel like.
There's a lot
so
still
much
up in the air.
There are no guaranteed matchups at this point in the playoffs. Like everybody has, they're flipping like five or six seeds every game. Like it's insane. It's super fun.
Yeah. West in particular is nuts. Like that still could, I mean, the one seed is up for grabs. Basically one through 10, like no spot is really like solidified. Which
everything.
Is,
yeah. You have nuts. Like the first three and then a 4-game gap. And then the next like six teams all within a few games of each other. In the East, it's kind of broken up into more tiers, you know.
In the East, you basically know the 10 teams, but you still don't know exactly all the seeding and stuff.
Yeah, I guess the East is less fun. It's just
the East is.
It is. I don't know. Somehow, I feel like the East also has just we were talking about it in the chat today, just terrifying matchups at the bottom of the bracket. Like,
yeah,
it being honestly, a top bracket team, you're like, why are these the worst teams that we're playing?
Yeah, the Bucks would honestly be better being like the fifth seed or something. Cause our path is like, we're gonna have to go through like the Heat or the Pacers or the Sixers with Embiid. Or it's like, I feel like we're setting up no matter what, we're going to have not a super fun first
round.
We'll see.
Yeah. Can we play the Cavs? Honestly? Like I'm fine with that. Can we play the three seed?
Can we do
right
the
away?
Thing where the high seed just get the draft who you pick? And we'll just take, we're like, we'll take the three seed in round one. Give us the Cavs. Screw it.
Might as well. Or the Knicks. I don't know. OG Anunoby's not playing still. I do wonder. Hey. I feel like if the Bucks had to draft, I feel like they would draft the Cavs as their first round matchup. That's kind of absurd, but I don't know. I feel like we match up at least well against the Cavs.
Yeah.
Two bigs, like they can't really do anything against us, like interior wise, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably I might go Knicks before them, but I suppose the idea is Jalen Brunson could get hot and that's scary or whatever. But yeah, I'd probably go Cavs or obviously I guess the Bulls. The Bulls is the dream.
Oh, are the Bulls. Like what seed are the Bulls right now?
They're the ninth seed. So, sure. Well, I guess they'd have to win the play-in. They'd have to win the play-in. I see what you mean. Yeah.
But I'm down with that, though. Give me the Bulls. Remember, there were a couple years in a row we got the Bulls in the first round.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. That was a joyful time for the Bulls history.
Yeah. Grayson Allen looked like a phenom in that series. He was scoring like 30 points.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Bucks seem like they're pretty locked into the 2 seed, so we'll see who we get.
Yeah, and look who it is. I think it's
biggest
late.
Bucks fan
Ice
we know.
Is here.
The Bucks.
We were just talking about
Bucks and six.
So here's the question. If you're the Bucks and you could draft your playoff opponent in the first round, based on the teams that are in the playoff scenario, so here's the teams we kind of discussed, because you're coming in hot. So, not any of the teams we could play, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, those ones are scary.
Talk about any. Yep. Instead, we talked about would you rather play Cavs or Knicks if you're choosing like from teams that are in the bracket, or you know, if you could choose from any of the 10 teams, you choose the Bulls, you know, like just so. I basically the discussion we had was Cavs or Knicks. If you had to draft the Bucks opponent, who would you pick?
I mean, I'm curious how you react to that, Josh, because you're a Cavs fan. But it's probably the Cavs, right? Is that how you guys feel too?
Cavs.
And we're not scared of either of them, I would imagine. I mean, you're probably not supposed to say that. I don't have as much stake into the Bucks as you guys do, but like you're not scared of either of those teams, I would imagine. Right.
In a 7-game series, I don't feel like they could win 4 games. No, that I think it could be a competitive series, but I don't think we're, either side. I said the Cavs right off the bat, just because I think the matchup, like the issue for the Bucks is when we get like a really guard heavy team and like they can go small and all of a sudden we have nobody to run around. But the Cavs are not doing that. They're a big kind of clunky team. It'll probably be the Cavs and the Knicks again, and that'll just
probably be the second round, right, between those two. Unless the Pacers or somebody beats them, and obviously you'd rather have them over the Pacers. I would imagine. I mean,
Pacers is nightmare fuel, man. That's like the scary young fight.
Because you know they'd win the first game in Milwaukee. They'd be like, oh my god, no.
The Bud Classic,
right? Just throw
okay.
an egg.
Maybe we should double Miles Turner every time he gets the ball for some reason. It's like that's our defensive strategy, and we never adjust. Maybe that'll be different. We'll see what Doc does in the playoffs. That will be interesting. I'm curious.
That is the one thing is we haven't played him yet with Doc. So part of me is like, huh, having a coach that's maybe not terrible would maybe make a difference. But I don't know. I just feel like on paper it's just a bad matchup. Like they just have all the things we're like bad against. So. We'll see.
We're so dependent on Malik Beasley. Like the Bucks are so dependent on.
Yeah, he's Malik a starter, Beasley. And it's kind of. I mean, he's falling in a line of whoever we slot in that shooting guard always puts up nuts numbers because it's just like you get so many wide open shots. Like whether it's Grayson Allen or Dante, like whoever's
think,
our fifth starter, they always.
I think Beasley
good.
Gets the Halliburton matchup. That's really the thing, right? Is he's probably the guy who's guarding?
That's
it's either him or. Or Chris.
Or Pat Bev with a torn wrist.
Pat Bev can't bend his wrist backward anymore. That's not important, right? You can do.
Yeah, if you guys ever hurt your wrist, was that just like a Pat Bev podcast situation? Is that what happened where he was like, he went on his podcast and he was like, I'm never going to play again. I won't be able to walk or feel my fingers again. And then he was like, actually, I'm going to play tomorrow because it makes him look cool. Is that what happened?
That was so weird.
Maybe. Maybe you just report that you're going to be out for 4 months and then you just play. So you look like a bad, I can't say the word, but
bad butt.
Bad butt.
Nailed
like a
that.
Bad butt.
That was smooth and normal conversation. That was weird though. Cause you sent the tweet and it's like, he's out 3 to 4 weeks, frowny face. We have like 20 minutes.
Three or four months.
We're like, oh.
3 or 4 months.
Oh, sorry.
Like,
yeah, that's right. And so we all sent a frowny face. We're like, oh, that stinks. And it's like, oh, he's playing today.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I've never hurt my wrist before, but, and especially with wrist too, like it seems important. I don't know. Maybe not.
It seems like you would need that.
Yeah.
I broke my wrist once.
Oh, that's awesome.
I could not have played basketball.
That's so. Bad butt.
Yeah,
that's
bad butt.
Butt.
How'd you break your wrist? Let's turn back.
I'll tell you the story. You tell me how old I was, okay? I was on the monkey bars.
It was yesterday.
Good start.
Earlier this year. And my mom told me I had to go put on biking gloves. And they
were
too slippery.
That's a classic Tracy. Classic Tracy move right there.
And so I slipped off the monkey bars and caught myself and broke my left wrist and got pins.
At least she made her point. I bet you now you have to wear those biking gloves.
Dude, monkey bars are awful. Still.
Dangerous.
Like, I don't, as you get older,
weird
it's just
concept.
It's so much less fun as you're like an old, like I should like in shape person, like, oh, this is normal. Like I should be able to hold myself up from this. And then you realize that we just can't do it. I don't know. Like 10 is like the perfect
we're
age
the
for monkey
height,
bars.
Right? Now, obviously we're just like two, like they're built for like a 3-foot tall human, to hang off of. So once you're you know, a large human. It's kind of not.
Yeah, the weight. To, like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I've tried it a couple different ways. I've been doing some experimentation at the park with Leo.
Josh is out on the playgrounds now with Leo.
One,
Leo, you can't make the same mistakes as me. I must
put you. But it's like, do you try to keep the elbows more bent to try to keep it away from like the dangle? But then you can't. That is hard to like shift from one.
I feel like
to
you're
next.
Not. Yeah, you're not supposed to bend the elbows. But that was always my worst. That was my worst event in the playground Olympics.
Yeah. It's the reason ICE didn't make the FBI fitness test.
Yeah, I didn't.
The presidential medal. It was. What about the one where you try to hit the person off the little standing log? How about that?
That universal game that everyone has played. Yeah. Not just around. Us. Yeah.
We've done that drunk. Before Badger or games. A time or
lemonaded.
Big butted. So people say. That's our Bucks talk. I don't know.
We got to mention Josh. Since we last potted, I think Doc Rivers is our coach. Like, I don't think we ever got a chance to talk.
Breaking news.
Emergency podcast.
Breaking news.
Adrian Griffin to Doc. And really, it was a whole thing, right? For like 2 weeks, that was all everyone talked about. And then he was the all-star coach. And it was like, what is going on? This is very strange. And now it doesn't matter at all. And the Bucks are about the same as they were before. So I guess there's that. Is that too sad? That I mean, I feel about the same about the Bucks as I did when we fired Adrian Griffin.
Agreed.
Like about our actual play, you know.
Technically the numbers have been slightly better, but the win total has been slightly worse.
Basically been like we've played harder teams, but looked better, but still lost more. So I don't know what that equates to. I think I feel like our ceiling
are the vibes better. Are the vibes better?
I feel like the fan vibes
are immaculate,
better, right?
Fan vibes.
Well, yeah. I mean, the vibes would have to be better because Giannis, I assume, is the one who drove out Adrian Griffin in the first place. So
remember those Giannis, those Giannis quotes were never.
Yeah, they were weak.
Like, well, we need to be coached yeah. better. We need to be.
And then he said all those. He said, "Yeah, I don't know if we ever talked enough about this. He only said all those other things, in my opinion, because he already had said the coached thing,
the coach thing
and he
yeah.
needed to cover it a little bit. So he was like, yep. "Oh, let's make it a funny quote about the right. he needs to wash our clothes here. Better." Yeah, no, I shouldn't have said that about my car.
That is true because he said the coach thing first and he's like, and I need to play and then they need to do
and
this.
I need to play better and mm-hmm. the equipment guy, yeah, he's got to watch. And to his credit, the equipment managers look a lot better. Those jerseys.
Yeah.
Immaculate.
Really clean jerseys. We don't know gender. Oh, they up. Needed that call out.
Oh, no. Sorry. Didn't think about it. That's fine. Nice. No, I don't care. We don't have to edit my stuff. You guys are clean, and you have a friend who is not, and that's fine.
We can't associate with you anymore. Yeah. Sorry, Ice. This is where your energy
just a
on the
bad
podcast
butt
is
bad.
But
for what it's worth, my Bucks fandom has been mostly. I mean, it's been obviously very interesting, right? In a unique year.
Part of the group chat, and I commend you for surviving a few months.
It feels good.
With the three of us.
No, it feels it's a nice fandom to have. We're second in the East. I mean, I don't feel bad about any of the matchups. Even the Celtics, it feels like we got a chance. And Dame is not quite what we were hoping for, but the playoffs aren't here yet. So hopefully he gets there. And
yeah.
And Chris just got healthy. Like, I mean, the vibes are pretty good. I feel like for me anyway.
That's
I don't know if you guys.
I feel like we're kind of a sleeping. I almost prefer the last year the Bucks were the one seed, right? And it was kind of like we'd had this. I kind of tend to prefer the Bucks are sort of feel like they're more like peaking heading into the playoffs versus last year. It felt like we peaked in like February or something.
Yeah, we went like a 30-game win streak in like November, yeah. And it's like, uh-oh.
The peaking thing is always interesting though too because it's really just like we haven't been that good, isn't that what that means?
That's the weird part, and we still haven't. I mean, peaking. What have we been peaking recently? I don't know. Like, we haven't that we've played well at all.
Basically, what the stats show us is when we're all healthy, we're actually really freaking good. But we've only been healthy for like 9 games. So, and at some point, you know, like continuity, I feel like.
And 4 of them
bit.
Were against like the Bulls and
right
the Wolves or something.
Hey, at least we didn't do that.
Yeah, we did do that. We've done that multiple times.
We can talk some. We've done that multiple
times. That's true. We did that once. We did that twice. We'll do it again. Just watch us.
But the Wolves ice, I mean, you guys are on pace for 60 wins or something. You
not quite, but it is historic. I mean, and obviously our franchise history isn't so great, but it's going to be our second most wins in a season ever. 58 is the number we would have to win for it to be the most, but pretty sure we'd have to win out at this point. So
okay, but that's still high 50s is.
Oh yeah,
and potentially the one seed.
That's it's funny because we might be the three seed with the high 50s, and like last year the Kings were the three seed, and I think they won like 47 or something along those lines.
What the heck?
Yeah, and I'm not even complaining about it. I mean, this is pessimistic. Jesse would 100% disagree with this, so we maybe should just wait till he gets there. But I'm not expecting us to go to the Western Conference Finals, and so I don't like care as much about like the 1-3 seed kind of thing. I do expect us to win a series, and so if we don't, that's that sucks, and that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But once we win a series, like for me, it's gonna feel like gravy. Yes. I think I mean, I'll get super mad about it. I'll get super into it. I'll feel like we're better or whatever it is. But like I don't like looking at it, and you guys probably feel the same way looking at it from the outside in, like. If you put us up against,
it's hard
like,
to project. It's hard to project finals when you haven't won a series in a long
time. Right. Yeah. That's how I feel, and I don't. That's not how it works. Like if you look at the NBA teams that haven't won a series, that's true, and that was a while ago. So, like teams who don't win, don't win very much until they win. So there it is.
That's a astute point.
Put it on a t-shirt.
You can buy it. And no one's a premium member is what we learned from
the other person who's invested in the top of the West. It's really hard, like honestly, like to keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know what it is right now.
I've got money on it not being the Nuggets, so it better not be the
Thunder. Oh, let's go. First. I know the Thunder are first because Thunder up. I don't know who's in 7, 8, 9, 10, or I know who's in 9, 10. I don't know who's in 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, it keeps changing every day, so that's why.
It's really hard. It's hard to project to be like, oh, I'm looking forward to, or I'm nervous about this matchup. Like we can with the Bucks because there's literally like six teams we have to fill.
Well, and you guys, and you have a horse too, Josh, in the race. So I mean, I'm curious how you feel, but like, if you also look at the matchups, there's not one that's like particularly enticing. Amazing. Except maybe the Kings. Outside of the Kings, like, do you care?
They all kinda
do
suck.
The Thunder care if they play the Lakers or the Warriors or the Suns or the Mavs or the Clippers? No. Or
they're like all the
same.
All,
they all seem like they kind of aren't great for a round one.
But they're not bad either, right? Like
they're not horrible. Yeah, it's not like the Nuggets, but
it's hard
to know. They could definitely win a series. Like you have to hope. Like that's why it's important. It's a 7-game series that you have to hope that your team with the better, cohesive unit and more consistency wins out. But you could easily see the Suns going on a heater and KD scores 50, and then
that's
Booker
my most feared
goes
one.
Let's 9 of 10
Suns.
From three. And,
Suns up.
But it is. It's true. It doesn't really matter.
Stay risen in the West, boys. All right.
Ooh,
let's go Suns.
Stay risen.
Let's go Suns.
Put that on a T-shirt too.
Stays
risen with two Z's and he's wearing sunglasses.
Easter.
You get it.
Easter Sunday, am I right, fellas? Yeah. Just coming off of
it. It's the Kings because of the Malik Monk injury. I think for the Thunder in particular, we just have it's talked about everywhere. We have a big man problem, like for those physical, like, and I think we can still win a series against him, but it's like, Sabonis. Like he's just like a grinder and just like would just kill us down low. And we'd I think we'd win a series, but it's still not fun. But when they don't have another option on the perimeter like Monk, I would very much choose them. Choose the Kings.
It's interesting roster construction because the Thunder are definitely just playing the long game. Because I'm surprised they didn't want to get I feel like getting a big wouldn't have been that hard at the deadline. But I guess they just didn't want to like blow up any current guys.
Yeah. Right? Well, they don't want to sacrifice. Let me speak as the Thunder.
You don't want
to sacrifice the style of play. That's what they've been building over the last couple of years. Like they're creating this, you know, kind of amoeba of offense, like guard screening for guards, and everybody's moving and there's constant flow and you have to guard everybody in every part of the court, except for Josh Giddey, in which case you just kind of stand on the baseline and just look at him.
He's been so good recently.
He has been really good. I know. But I'm never going to get over that like 3-game stretch where I was just sending videos of every 3-pointer he was taking.
You take a screenshot of the box score and you'd be like, check it out, guys. How are the Wings doing today? They're not so good.
Yeah, but he's been really, really good. But I think that was the Thunder want to see how far this style of play and this kind of version of the team can take them, because it's all young pieces and they're gelling and you want to see what they can run. Like it's obviously gotten to like first in the West right now. You want to see what they can do with it. I think before you blow it up and bring in like, let's bring in Clint Capella and let somebody just kind of bang around down there. We want to see what this style of play can bring you.
Yeah. But either way, last year, Josh, you weren't a Thunder fan yet, but the 8-9 matchup was the Wolves and the Thunder to see who was playing crushed. The Nuggets in the first round. Yeah, I was talking less about the result, which was good for us.
Yeah.
And more about just the fact that, you know, a little perspective. Now, people are kind of used to it now, yes. Right? Because it's been the whole year of these two teams battling the Nuggets for the, you know, whatever, but
But we were battling to play the Nuggets as the AC. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember being like, oh, the Thunder aren't a bad matchup, and I think we'll be able to handle them. And then we did. And now it's like the Thunder are freaking good and scary.
I keep reminding myself that it's a 7-game series. And I think both the Bucks and the Thunder are similarly just going to be steady enough over 7 games, hopefully, to just win out in the first round. But they both stress me out. Like, it's just stressful.
Yeah, it's scary. I don't know that either of our teams will be favored in our first round matchups. I guess, but unless it's the Kings, I don't know who we would be favored against. And it's kind of annoying. But also last year, I remember being like adamantly like, the Kings are going to beat the Lakers. And I put money on it. And the Warriors are going to lose to whoever it was. Like a young team, and I put money on that too. And the Lakers and the Warriors both won because they're Lakers and the Warriors.
We don't know anything. Yeah, they're just good.
Nobody knows. Speaking of not knowing about anything, should we talk about March Madness, the bracketology, Final Four?
That was fair.
Because this Final Four is nuts.
Here's something you brought up earlier, Ice, just about the general bracket thing, but I'm curious your impressions on it. At what point did you completely lose faith in your bracket, or did you like stop checking? Like,
it took me a long time.
I said Arizona out in 2 hours, so at least,
yeah, you know. It was day one. It was my first time ever losing the champion day one, and it was a bummer.
Still won the whole thing,
and it made me sad. And it just like it totally took all the fun out of it. And so last year, I got super down about it, and obviously, it was crazy, right? And so no one did any good, right? And that whatever, but this year, I don't know. I was trying to have fun with it and like sit back and just like, oh, it's fun to watch all these players. But it's been a bummer, to be completely honest with you. So long story short, this is too much information, but Ian and some of his, I think it's family members, do like a draft of like, you have to put in a certain money. It's like an auction, and you auction each team.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Each team gets auctioned, and it's real money though. And the numbers go higher than I'm ever comfortable like betting.
Like $32,
It's so more than that.
Dropped like $400 on
you. No, you can't go over 200, but it was pretty hard to go under 200 as well. And so I put
you're right at 200, yeah.
So I put, what did I have? I had $90 on Houston, and every win you get wins you back money. I think my 90 on Houston ended up getting me 70. So like, that's fine. Losing $20 on a bet sucks for me, but my other one, like, it wasn't, like, catastrophic. My other one was $80, and it was my only other thing that I picked, and it felt like a good price at the time, and I got Auburn. And so I just lost $80. And, like, I don't bet that much money. So, like, that really sucked, and it really bummed me out. And so, like, I was all in on Houston then after that, and then once Houston lost, then I stopped checking. So, like, a little different of an answer.
You're not trying to, like, save up money for any major life events. Yeah, right. So it's not an issue. Like, you have disposable income right now like crazy.
So. Yeah, I'm very rich, and so it's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, again, it's not that much money, and so what I'm going to do instead is I'm just going to take, like, at least $80 out of my gambling apps that I have. And, like,
oh, I thought you were just going to say, what I'm going to do is take out a small loan for the wedding.
Yeah, no. And so
I'm going to bet, yeah.
I'm going to get the money back. From all the, you know,
I'm gonna win it back for you, babe.
Yeah, right. I'm chasing. I put a huge guy, gigantic future on the NC State. No, NC State. Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know, but I don't know. It's also kind of a boring year, in my opinion. But we can hash that out.
Well, that's big man stuff. Yeah,
they had it in for us because they gave Purdue such a. They wanted Purdue in the Final Four so badly, right? Like, that region was just designed to, like, let them go far. No, like, I had them losing to McNeese. I think Purdue is just not a particularly style. It's no DJ Burns. Am I right, Jesse? It's no DJ Burns.
God, it's like a little Shaq. You know, like, he's not as big as Shaq, but he's like a little Shaq. Yeah, like Shaq, but decrease everything by 30%. You know, like a little shrink ray Shaq. You know,
he kind of is just Glenn Big Baby Davis to me, but with like
yeah. So that's probably better. That's probably better.
I could not believe this is too much in the weeds, but I could not believe the end of that game that NC State just kept going up and down the court. Is like taking 3 seconds per possession. Yep. Just like, here we go.
Because well, they were just back cutting.
They wanted to play.
Duke wasn't doing anything. Duke was just like leaving the end zone wide open every play. And they're like, huh, how do they keep getting late?
Well, I loved it because point, yeah, don't you dribble it back out? No, he's like, I'm finishing. Like, I'm taking this.
Yeah, because like a lot of like the maybe more polished teams are like, no, like we're gonna run the whole clock. And NC State's like, free basket, free basket, free basket.
And then he's like pump faking to get him in the air just so you can get a foul. It's like, what is happening?
You're just stopping getting ones.
You're stopping the clock for them like every 5 seconds. It was fun. Yeah. It just made
and then
me laugh.
Duke would quick inbound it, drain a three to get within 10, and then NC State would just go down and do the same.
Another exact and thing. One. Another and like, this is wild. It's so demoralizing.
Also, like, that top guy's comment that Kai said was like, who would have thought they'd be here? Like, dumb. Like, very dumb, but also, like, it makes me think of, like, when things like this happen, it makes me think of what are all the amazing stories that we were, like, a game away from, you know? Because, like, if NC State loses to North Carolina in the ACC championship, they're not in the tournament, you know? Like, you never have this. And so, like, it butterfly effect, sliding doors, whatever you want to say. It's like what
7 degrees of separation, whatever.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. There
well, I can tell you who it is. It's the Illinois State. It's that same guy. You've seen it could have been this year. The guy with the goggles who did like a triple, like triple double
State.
Machine for
yeah.
Indiana State. That's who it was. Yeah. That's who we missed out on. By
I can tell you who it is. It's this one. But I said it wrong, and it's not the one I'm talking about.
I don't know his name, and you have to visualize.
Kareem.
Yeah, it's this guy.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Don't say Kareem. I'm going to bleep it.
That was good. What have I missed? What have we discussed?
We talked about Bucks and Brewers. Here's the question that Ice brought you up for earlier about the Wolves, because we did some Wolves talk. Yep. At what point, like, where's your expectation now that we're getting into postseason? Like, where's your head at for the Wolves kind of postseason run or gearing up for this playoffs? Where are you at?
My head is I hate the West. That's where my head's at because because it's like, oh, you're gonna be the one seed. Okay, so do you want to play Steph Curry, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker? It's like, come on. It's like, or the dude Lee, who has like 40 triple doubles in De'Aaron Fox. It's like, oh, can I have the Bulls? No, sorry, that's the East. Could I have, like,
somehow they're the 5 seed? Don't worry.
Yeah, right. Could I have the Hawks without Trae Young? No, that's the East too. So I'm a little frustrated if we're being honest about where we're at. You know, like it's unfortunate to like I still have a lot of faith, But, like, it would be very frustrating to have to play the Lakers, to have to play the Suns, to have, like, I think we could be the 1, 2, or 3, and there's a lot of matchups where we probably wouldn't have the best player. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to put Ant. I don't know if I'm ready to put Ant above Kevin Durant. I don't know if I'm ready to put Ant above LeBron James. I don't know if I'm ready to put Ant above Steph Curry. Like, that's not ridiculous for me to say. You know what I mean? So, like, it just kind of seems that, – that's where I go. Like, every time I look at the seedings, I'm always just like, who do I – and I guess, like, is it the Pelicans that I want? I mean, I think Ice and I have talked about it a lot. It's the Kings that we want. But it's not like the Kings are even, like, a schmuck team, man. They're still, like – you know, they got the dude leading the league in triple doubles. They got, I think, De'Aaron Fox is top.
It's double doubles.
Isn't he leading in triple doubles?
Luka, bro, probably, I assume.
No, I think it's, I definitely think it is Sabonis.
Ooh, Google
Sabonis
it.
Sabonis in triple.
What are we betting?
I bet now it's Sabonis.
This is how we win.
I bet my house. I bet my house. I'm trying Josh to get my money. I don't have a house. All right, hold on. I'm Googling it right now.
Me too. I'm going to find it first.
It said Russell Westbrook, so I think that didn't quite get it here.
Shoot. Russell Westbrook
holds
the
room. Hey, we both got it wrong.
Shoot, Russell Westbrook, dang it. He's having a great season off the Lakers bench.
You were right. I stand corrected, Jesse. It's Sabonis.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad
Sabonis has 26. Jokic has 23. Doncic has 19. And then it's a big drop-off.
Yep. Wow. Yep. I only know that because, again, like the fact, again, he's going to have like 30 triple doubles and not be an all-star. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's a ridiculous stat, you know, like it's just insane. But,
we did mention in the West that it there for me right now, it does take away some of the like frantic standings watching. Cause I really don't, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
make a difference.
It's like, especially Ice and I've talked about it a lot. I just want to win a series, you know?
You guys talking a lot, huh? Man, you and Ice are just all the time.
Ice and I just, here's the thing. Ice and I love each other. Yeah, we sometimes join this chat because, like, you're there. But I just want to win a series. And so, like, the 1 or the 2 or the 3, that matters for round 2 and round 3 when you're, like, talking home court. And so, like, I'm just at the point where I'm like, I know we're going to have home court for the first round. And
can
so
we beat
literally,
the Clippers? Yeah, can we? Yeah. Anybody?
It's all
can
about that anybody? Matchup. Yeah, and so like, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm feeling good. I'm worried about. Did that sound convincing?
Yeah.
I'm feeling really good. But like, yeah, I would love. I don't know. Ice and I in our other chat that we talked in all the time. I posted this to him only. You guys didn't get to see it. Glenn Taylor, who is the forever owner of the Timberwolves, forever. Apparently, he recently said that Cat's ahead of schedule, and so like that's exciting. I would have loved for him to be able to come back in the I'm not saying he can't now, but like all signs point to it's not going to be the regular season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that's
nothing
just
like a rusty.
Yeah, that's a bummer. You know, like you don't want your Cat feel it out game to be game 4 when you're down. You know, 2-1 or whatever, you know, so like,
well, and then you know, I mean, Cats traditionally struggled in the playoffs, like, has made, I mean, that's kind of the what is the narrative. So then he's like, okay, he's coming back on one leg and throwing, you know, passes and having weird fouls. It's just, yeah,
and like,
wouldn't be what you want.
Yes, he can shoot the three really well, so that aspect is good, but like. The rest of him is not like a just plug and play. He's a very unique player, you know. Like when you're the greatest center shooter in NBA history, whatever it is. Like, it's not like it's like if we lost Jaden McDaniels for a long stretch and then had to bring him back in, that's fine. Like, he doesn't do anything on offense. He's just a lockdown one-on-one defender. Like, it's easy to plug him in, you know. And I mean, like, it would suck to lose Ant. But I still feel like, and if it was Rusty, that would suck. But I still feel playing around Ant's pretty simple. Give the dude the ball in the fourth quarter. You know, like, it's not a hard recipe. But Cats, it's a really tough one to try to.
Like all the interior stuff that he and Gobert have done. And yeah, it's just like,
yeah,
it's weird.
So yeah, that's the part that makes me the most nervous is like, here's the thing about being a Wolves fan. We're not always perfect. When it comes to the playoffs and having everyone available and healthy and not fighting with each other, you know, and winning games. So
just put foam on all the walls, right? That's what you need to do for Roman Punisher was.
That would actually be really funny to just foam everything. but yeah, so I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like I'm just like waiting at this point. You know, like seeding is fun and I would love to be the one seed and it'd be really fun. But like it doesn't really matter. I'm just like in waiting mode until we start that first round and until we're a couple games in and until I can see, because like until then this is all just like a fun storyline and that's it, you know, like not to be like as a Wolves fan, it's not like every year we're like, ah, we're just playing for the playoffs, you know, classic Wolves. Like, no, very much enjoying a 50 win season, but it feels like the Cat 60 point game. Oh, did you hear the beep?
What are we cooking?
No, that's my no, that's my that's sorry. That is my office security system.
We're in the office.
Had to lock it up. Lock it up. It's long.
I could tell based on the pitches of those numbers. I know the code now to your office.
Oh man,
Josh has perfect pitch, so he can just tell. Yeah.
All right, say it, Josh. That out. Say the beep pitches to us.
You want this? Yep. No, I'm not for the world. I mean, this podcast gets dozens of listens. I don't want that on your conscience.
Apparently, so actually, we like just had a pretty open door policy here. Like,
lost some reception there as you're walking.
It sounds like a very open door policy.
Oh, there you go. You're back in. Yeah. Oh, you pop back in for rare gems dealers. That's fun.
Ah, yeah. Sorry about that. So I disconnected from our Wi-Fi is what happened there. Oh, wait, hold on. Give me.
Yep.
this is an adventure.
This is a good bit.
Oh,
rare
no.
gems dealers. What I'm going to catch again.
All right, I'm back.
Yep.
Yeah, we're open until like our office is open like 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then again, we have one like rare gems dealer. And he's like, this doesn't feel safe to me. And so we've now had to change a bunch of stuff for this one guy.
Back up. Yep. You have one rare gems dealer that runs his own operation out of your office?
We are in an office complex. We are in an office complex. We are a suite inside of this office complex.
You're a tutor business and also rare gems.
Rare gems,
but
business.
That's just
yes.
It's just the one guy. Yeah, you have a
branch.
So we're like, hey, do you need math help, science help, or to get your diamonds graded? And so like it's pretty classic business.
Select one for sapphire collection.
Select one for STEM tutoring. Select two for your opals.
Understands it. No one gets it.
But now we've had to change a bunch of stuff because of this gentleman who's worried about his rare gems, you know, which I guess.
Which, to be fair, yeah, rare gems, dude.
Yep. Yeah, so now I guess to recap, Josh now knows the combination to Rare Gems office. So if anything happens, we know where we're looking. You know, we're looking at you.
It's Mansky. Because I told him the combination. Yeah.
Okay, we talked Wolves. Oh, I did actually want to ask, since I missed it, just like a real quick lowdown. Where is the Bucks community at? Are you good? Are you bad? Are you alive?
We're pretty
chill. We're just chilling. What's funny about the East playoffs right now is that we've just been kind of running in second place by so much, like we have nothing to care about. For the rest.
11 games.
Yeah, it's like, and we're like four games up on the Cavs, who are just like, meh. So no offense to me, but I think the positive Bucks fan says we're getting everyone back and healthy. This should be right now our best basketball, like coming to the playoffs. Like this should be it.
Yep.
And me, a more level-headed Bucks fan, but I just want to see us actually play a good game. Where I'm at.
Yeah, it feels like, as someone who's not in the Bucks community, you three are. It feels like it's still like a paper team. You know what I mean? Like it still feels like you got all the talent that you need, but that like you've never really had that stretch where you've won 8 in a row or where you beat like the Nuggets and then the Celtics and then the Wolves. Am I right? On back to back to back, like any of those dominant things. And I think like with Doc, you guys are like 15 and 14 or something right now. So, like,
yep.
I don't know. I guess.
So what does that mean?
I guess this is coming from the Bucks hater, but I think this is, I would say this with or without anything with Bucks. It is like, I just don't know how to evaluate them. I have no idea how to evaluate you guys right now. Like whether you are a title contender or a second round knockout, you know, like.
And what stinks for me is the Bucks played their best game, probably a couple games back against the Thunder, and just completely decimated the Thunder. So I don't really know what to do with that either. I'm just going to kind of dismiss the game as if it didn't happen, but then I don't see the good Bucks game, which makes it hard for me.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Well, the nice thing about our chat is
the Josh curse is real. Right. Yeah. It's a fun bit.
No, it is. And right now what we just – I don't know if we brought this up in which chat, but right now our potential first-round matchups are like, you know, Embiid and the Sixers, the Pacers, who for some reason just crushed us all season – and
the heat.
Yeah. So that's not also super fun. It's like, oh, okay, let's ease our way into a really high stakes matchup that'll determine the course of our franchise. Let's do that real quick.
It is kind of funny how the season came about, because like you'd kind of want to play the Knicks right now, right? Like I just saw the report that
we did the segment already, Jesse. We did this
all right. Never mind.
Listen to the pod.
Yeah.
We drafted the Cavs for what it's worth. If we could pick a team to play, we pick the Cavs. If we could pick the 3 seed, we would. Yeah.
The Cavs, so that's, really?
Yeah. It's just a matchups game. They're big. Yeah. We're big. We can't play the teams that are quick and speedy and have a bunch of guards. We're gonna go off for 30. So we need to play.
You want to face Donovan Mitchell?
Off of a knee injury? Yeah. Yeah. He's still got knee swelling, bro. Knee swelling.
All right. I'm dumb, so I'm just gonna check out. Okay.
No, it is true though that if we could choose a 3 seed in the second round or in the first round, we would do that right now. But instead, we're gonna do something different, and that's gonna be scary.
Okay. Thanks for catching me up.
That was the Bucks thing. Let's talk. We should talk the actual like Final Four, like stuff coming up for the March Madness, because we just kind of touched on. The big boys. Ice, your take was just pick all the tall players, right?
Is that what? Yeah, it really, honestly, if you picked it this year based on the tallest person in the game, you would definitely have two of the last four. I don't know who the tallest guy is.
Creighton
might have got robbed.
Total mass. If you went like height plus weight,
you could get burned.
We didn't get NC State in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's the other? Oh, Alabama. Alabama has a 7-footer from North Dakota or something like that, right? Something like that. He's got a mustache. Is that that team or is that a different team?
I literally have not seen any. I feel so. I feel like also this tournament I've been so in and out of. I feel like I've seen so sparing amounts of games. So like Alabama, I legit haven't seen a minute.
Okay.
Hey, I'm jealous. I wish I had seen more.
I think Alabama has a mustachioed 7-footer. The tallest guys, Klingon is 7'2" and Edie 7'3", 7'4". Like
7'4".
Yeah, just bet on those guys. And it really has been. I think it's because the teams are they don't look so good this year. Like,
yeah,
I think that's
down year for college basketball.
Yeah, right? So the tallest guy is the best. I don't know.
For men's college basketball, to be clear.
True, yeah, we just came off of that one. I'm sure you guys mentioned it already, but yeah. That was awesome. Anyway,
we have not really we can dive more into that because Kai and I just mentioned saying, hey, we got a lot to talk about, including the women's tournament, and that was our mention of it so far. So,
as you said it in the actual chat of the big chat that you know we don't talk in that much.
That no one ever sends messages to.
But I said it first that like I knew more.
I said it first.
People playing. No, I said it first. I knew more people playing in the women's NCAA than the men's NCAA this year, which is pretty surprising for me. And you said like, yeah, it's a down year for the men and up year for the women. And I think both of those things happening at the same time is particularly great for the women's game.
Yeah,
right.
So
like,
cool.
Like I think it would be easy to overshadow if this was like the Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett Duke year, you know, or the what was it? The great team, the Kentucky team that got beat by the Badgers. Didn't that happen? Something like that?
That happened. 2015.
Yeah. Cat. Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's it. So, like, I do think it's – and like fair or not, as in I don't think this should have to be the case, that the men's team needs to be lower for the women's to rise up. Like, I don't think that's fair. But it's the reality of what's happening, right? Like, I think – like, my eyes taking the men's Final Four, I'm worried it's going to suck. Like, I'm worried, like, the one seeds are just going to dominate both the other two, and it's just going to be bad, you know? And I don't have that worry at all in the women's tournament. Like, I think, like the rest of the games in the women's tournament all seem great, you know?
Fair, right. South Carolina could just beat everybody by 15
points. Oh, they could. And that – but, like, to me, it's more fun to see South Carolina dominate, like, Caitlin Clark – than Purdue to dominate NC State, you know, because like you kind of expect Purdue to maybe dominate or UConn right. to dominate Alabama. Sure. But like,
there's one good game left, it feels like, in the men's. And I really think that's how it's going to go too. And that's a bummer, right? Like if DJ Burns gets roasted by 20, like that's not fun. This is watching this slow fat guy getting destroyed over and over again.
Like, he is more fun when he's like having a good time. He's like a very infectious personality, a fun person to watch when things are going well. We didn't watch much NC State on their like 7-game losing streak in the middle of the season. I'm guessing it wasn't as fun to watch.
he wasn't smiling up the court as they're down 12 and he just got blocked. You know.
Yeah, that's my guess.
So, but yeah, so like I think like let's stick with the women's game here for a sec. I think right around like 2 years ago is maybe when ESPN and a lot of the other outlets started to actually pay more attention to women's sports. Or at least I noticed it a lot more. I feel like I noticed a lot more notifications on my phone and like a lot more like advertisements for the women's game.
Well,
and
it was about 3 years ago that I was just reading an article on this today, The Ringer hashtag. But there was like a huge paper published about the inequities between the men's and the women's tournaments and how like all the way down to like where they stayed, like their lodging, the courts they played on and the meals they had and the you know the amount of times that they were talked about, you know, in production, like all that stuff came out a couple years back. So there's definitely been a more concerted effort to make that a more equitable experience, and that's been clear. And it's, I mean, it just shows like, hey, when you like one, we have all time like really great, really highly talented women's players right now. But also like when you talk about them, like it matters and people actually care because it's good basketball and it's still really fun to watch.
Yeah. And so I think it is like a culmination of effects. It's awesome that we get this because I also think like this is a particularly special year for women's college basketball because you had, you know, a player break the all-time scoring record. Juju Watkins tonight just broke the D1 freshman scoring record. You know, like, I'm sure the women's game has been very good for – I got to be careful here saying this as someone who just does never watch and is a white male being like, here's my thoughts on the women's game. But having players do, like, historically record-breaking seasons probably doesn't happen every year. So I just think from that aspect
– yeah, the Pete Maravich record has been standing for a little while.
Yeah, and, like, the 36-0 South Carolina is like I think the other really fascinating thing about the women's game is like, again, I don't know many, but I know 5 or 6 names. I don't actually know anyone on the South Carolina team. Like I don't know who the
Cardoso,
best player on the South Carolina team is.
They have like a 6'9" girl. They have like a 6'9" girl named Cardoso. I don't know what her first name is.
Yeah. But when I've listened to commentary on South Carolina women and whatnot, that is kind of the point, though, is that they don't have necessarily a Caitlin Clark or a Paige. How do you say her last name?
Bukers.
Beckers?
Bukers. I haven't watched. This just shows that we haven't really watched, right? Which is okay. Like,
yeah,
I don't think you should feel bad about not having watched. The fact that you're watching now, I think, is cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll say this. When I was watching tonight, I loved watching Caitlin Clark, and I loved when the threes went in because I think we've been kind of trained to like threes now because that's what basketball is now, which is fine. Shot making is fun, right? I didn't love all the post-ups, and, like, that happens in men's too, but, like, the other team was not very fun to watch, right? Like, am I wrong on that? Like, Caitlin Clark was fun to watch.
No, and I,
She made crazy shots. Like, she was nuts. She's Steph Curry. But the other ones, not so much.
This has been said before, and I think it's like a fair – it's factual. And I think the part when you switch from the men's game to the women's game is that the women's game is a primarily below the basket game. You know, and the men's game is primarily – especially on drives and dunks and all that, is like an above the basket game. And so it does take getting used to that, like your Angel Reese fast breaks are going to be these like very like well fundamental layups, you know, like that's right. Just kind of, and that's what a lot of like the post game is going to be. And so I think like, I do think it's kind of, if you've like, we have only watched the men's game, then like the lens to go to the women's game isn't the same, like you're looking for something else versus
this year. It kind of is the same because the men's game is all about the big man right now. Anyway,
yep. And Josh has been an advocate for years of like NBA basketball is more fun to watch than the college basketball because college basketball is a bunch of post ups. And like, I'm to be clear, watching Zach Edey play basketball, not that fun. At all. And like, that's not different also, from Angel Reese was more fun, definitely more fun to watch tonight than Zach Edey was the night before. And like, that's universal with college. But I think that's part of like the greatness, like what, to clarify my original thing, like that's part of the greatness of Caitlin Clark is like, she's bringing like, she is Steph Curry and there hasn't been Steph Curry in women's before. And like, it's so much more fun to watch than anything else that I've watched in these other games. And who so I the hope player, there's more of that, you know, because she's
there's
gonna be
a, there was a play Sabrina from Oregon.
Ionescu.
Yeah, she was like the closest, and she was recent as well. Where it was just like, oh, she's pulling up from the logo, like this is wild.
Well, and that's where it is like what Jesse said. We're talking about both of the games is cool and fun and like important or whatever is because like no one really paid attention to Sabrina Ionescu, I don't think, right? Like that's. And that's because of that, I would imagine anyway. Like I didn't really know who she was, and like she did the Steph Curry battle or whatever on the All-Star weekend, and that's cool and that's good, and people watched. So like, you know.
Well, if anything too, I guess it does make me feel sad because like I think I did miss a lot of like Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi and Maya Moore Brittany Griner. Yeah. Brianna Stewart. Not like there have been some amazing women's players, and like I can't even like think of a Sue Bird play, you know, and she is like universally regarded as the greatest of all time, you know. Right. And so like so I think it is kind of one of those things where you're like where people have been screaming about it the whole time, and now in 2024 we're like, wow, this game's actually really good.
They're pretty good at basketball sometimes.
They're really good. Like, why this is so fun that it's new, and everyone else is just slamming their head into a brick wall. But
I do wonder if this momentum, and you know, we don't have much pull. It's not like I'm gonna like sway the tides by talking about this on our podcast, but I do wonder if this momentum will follow up to the WNBA, like you know, Caitlin Clark, especially going to Indiana, and it's like, oh, are people going to be invested in watching Indiana's WNBA games
more? I think maybe. You know? I think it's more likely that Indiana and WNBA gets bigger from this than women's college basketball gets bigger. Because again, I do think like Caitlin Clark is such an outlier. Like she's shooting from the logo and like, she's passing and she's doing everything and I didn't see anyone else doing that, and that's okay, and I do want to pay attention still, because again, college men's college basketball not always that great either. It's just fun, right? So like I think it's more likely that Indiana is going to get some like, and Indiana loves basketball just as a state, so like I bet that's going to be kind of electric, which is cool, and I hope that happens.
We keep kind of talking circles about this. Go ahead, Jesse. I had one other thing I was going to say.
This is about when I was a sophomore and junior in high school, we had a dude, Alec Brown. He ended up playing, I think I've said this before on the pod, but he ended up playing G League NBA out of, actually, that would have been, what was it before? D League? Is that what it was before?
Yeah,
D League. But he was 6'11. As a junior when I was a sophomore, and he was 7'1" as a senior when I was a junior. And that's like, so now watching March Madness is like, I'm like, I've seen this. because you literally would just throw it to him and he would lay it up and then he would grab it with his big paws. And like that was, and we made the state final with him scoring about 32 of our 45 points a game, you know?
And him and, just protecting the rim. Yeah, and him just staying
it out. And that was it. And like literally if he grabbed the ball and held it as high as he could, the vast majority of people couldn't even jump to get it. You know what I mean? Like, because you include his wingspan, and they had a massive wingspan too.
Right.
And he's like 9.5 feet at that point. Actually, he might have been able to.
Yeah. Did you see Edie cutting down the nets yesterday without jumping or without being the ladder?
Without the ladder.
Yeah, that's cool. Similar guy.
That's great. But when you were talking about that, I was like, yeah, I guess you know that's just a basketball I grew up on, baby. You just pass it to the guy who's substantially bigger than everyone else, and then. He lightly sets it into the hoop. You know, you're like, woohoo, do that again. Nine more times. And we're going to go to the state final.
And that's why you didn't watch basketball for a decent amount of time back in
the day. Yeah, I was like, this game's so easy. You just have the tallest guy stand under the hoop. He lightly lays it in, and that's it. You play the pep band, and that's it. That's how basketball works.
Everybody goes home happy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You have your trumpet, and you just head home.
Last thing I'll say about the women's game, because I was just thinking about it was just a couple years back that UConn, I mean, was just never lose a game, right? I mean, that was that they got all the best recruits, and they just were dominant every single year. I mean, they won like what 6 of 8 tournaments. So, I mean, it was absurd. So that's also changed it. The fact that it's like there are multiple teams that have a genuine shot and like have real cases, and some of the best players aren't just all on UConn. So that's kind of fun. And that's just so I think it shows the growth of the game too, as it's kind of spreading out and more teams are getting like the
top. I do actually remember they were interviewing. I remember though, like a very common refrain that they would ask them is like, is your dominance bad for the women's game? This is when they'd won like 5 in 6 years.
Yeah,
and he was like, I mean, I don't care. Like, it's not my job to make this game, but it's my job to win, and I'm doing it. But it was like, I remember thinking about that a lot, and it's like, is it, you know, is Alan Francis bad for horseshoes? You know what I mean?
You shut your mouth.
Is Alan Francis bad for horseshoes?
Yeah, it just shows his doubt. I think he is bad for horseshoes, and I think that's good for his legacy. I don't feel bad about that at all.
Also, like, the offhand chance that, like, you know, Gino Auriemma or someone from that UConn team tuned into this weird podcast was like, hey, we're getting a shout out. And now we just compare them to Alan Francis. I'm like, all right.
They should be honored.
They feel so good.
Yeah. Could you imagine ever being compared to anything in your life to Alan Francis?
Yeah. If you are that random UConn listener, go back to any of our Alan Francis mentions and you'll see how highly we just complimented you. Yeah. This is about the highest level of compliment you can get on this year's podcast. But yeah, I think I do like, though, like, I think the difference with South Carolina being undefeated is they're not at UConn 2008 to 2018 level yet, you know? Yeah.
Like, I think the difference like is they won Caitlin last. Clark. I know I keep just saying this, but she beat them last year when they were undefeated too, right? Like, that's really all it is. Oh, God.
Jesse's in some, like, horror
Jesse's
movie.
Jesse's opening
like
a garage.
My garage door.
Oh, I nailed that.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Was that good audio for the podcast?
Yeah, that was great.
You might as well start up your chainsaw while you're at it. Cut a couple logs.
Dude.
And I'll fill this as a chainsaw. No, what is that? I can't remember what the quote is. And he has a chainsaw
either.
And is cutting off Phyllis's head.
Oh, yeah.
That's classic. Okay. Yeah, we're back. I was like, okay, well, Phyllis, there's only one Phyllis in this world, and that's from The Office. So the same office.
Gotta connect it. It is Caitlin Clark. Yeah, I think you're right. And maybe Juju can be that, you know, next 2 years as well for USC. Really like that, yeah, could still be the case.
Anyway, did we talk about NC State enough? I feel like we might not have talked about NC State enough.
They were an 11 seed, and now they're in the Final Four, and they could win the championship.
And they're in the Women's Final Four, too.
Final Four. They won their Elite Eight game. So NC State is having a real happening right now. Like, how do they divide up? Are they a big college? I don't know. Like, how do they divide up all their students?
Oh, like, where? Who goes to what?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think, well, again, I think, again, I hate to doubt them because that's all everyone's done, and I shouldn't be the one. It just feels – if you're an NC State fan listening to this, just be really happy about what's happened so far. You know?
Yeah, I agree with
just
that.
Just remember the good times.
Yeah, just because, like, the you're women are about spot. To play South Carolina, yep. and the men are about to play Purdue, and I just – it could maybe perhaps not be the best NC State weekend.
Yeah, it's hard to see. It's about as bad of a matchup weekend for them as it could be, but that's they earn that right, or something.
Now they get to play the best.
Yeah, which is bad.
So the Duke NC State game was very competitive in the first half, and then for some reason they just played DJ. What's his last name? Can't remember Burns. One-on-one like in the post the whole second half, and he's just like, I'm just gonna make a hook shot. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna keep doing that. Like, and that's not gonna happen against Purdue. So I don't know what they're.
Yeah, what are they? What's the plan? their guard. Their DJ guard, whose last name I don't remember.
DJ Horn.
DJ Horn is very good.
Horne.
So in that way, like I could see him having. Oh, I don't know about that. I could see him having a good weekend. Or, you know, having a good game, but I don't know, man. There's still the 7-4 guy. And the Purdue can make all the threes. You know, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
I just hope Burns gets him a couple times, you know?
He probably will.
Just gets Edie a couple
times. Yeah, he just flips it up there. Moves. He just tosses it up and it goes in. Like, he doesn't even look like he's shooting and it goes through the hoop. Yeah,
that's why those and ones at the end of the game were so hilarious to me, because it looked completely unlikely that they were going in. It's like, why are you taking the shot? And then, oh, it fell. There it went.
It looks, again. Yeah, it looks like a sixth grader who's like kind of learning to play basketball, and is like, oh, just throw it towards the hoop, right? And they're like, sure, yeah, just throw it towards the hoop. And then it's very efficient, and it works. And but yeah, I agree. Upon Zach Edey's like seventh block of DJ Burns in the first half, where do they go from there? You know, what's the next play?
Just doesn't really play defense because he's not really quick enough. It's not even like a, you know, like a Brook Lopez drop coverage situation. It's just a straight up like he hasn't guarded either of the guys. He just stays on the block. And so I don't know what happens there either when you got all these shooters. So I don't know.
Did you see the UConn coach's quote? The Illinois coach's quote about when they played UConn. So I think UConn had like seven blocks in the first like 10 minutes. So at the TV timeout, they talked to the Illinois coach, and he's like, "If they get 100 blocks, they get 100 blocks. We're gonna keep going."
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I did see that.
Like, but you understand he's like substantially taller than your people, so that makes it harder for you to make the basket.
Also, it doesn't seem like a particularly great like coaching thing to be like, if it's not working, it's not working, but we're gonna keep doing it. You know? Cool, that's innovative, and we love those halftime adjustments. My halftime adjustment is do it harder. You know, like
30 to nothing. 30-0 was the run for UConn.
That was crazy.
That's insane.
That like, sucked. She's like, every hey, time I looked up at the TV, yeah, it was just more UConn points.
I've never seen a game flow chart look like that, where it's like
flat line. And it literally was. It was. Who was? I'm sorry. Who were they playing?
Illinois.
Oh. Illinois. It was Texas. Literally Illinois flatlining. I don't follow the men's game. You know I'm a women's game at my heart.
I've been saying this for several days.
I've been saying this since the Iowa-LSU round two game, okay? Women's game's where it's at.
So you're the last one to answer this question, Jesse, about speaking of the March Madness brackets and how long you've been following the men's game. When did you give up on your bracket? When did you lose hope? What round, what team, what did you in? What broke the bat? Yeah. You're like, oh, this is it for me.
All right, Sweet 16. I had all 8 Elite 8 teams left. That's pretty freaking good. All right, like, I was looking good. And then by the end of the Sweet 16, I think I had 2 of the Elite 8 teams. It was bad. It was very bad. And it was a Houston loss. I had Houston winning it all. And so when Houston lost, I was like, well, there goes another $10. You know, every year it's a ritual. Like, I give away $10.
Kiss it goodbye.
Yeah. It was like
to Ian's girlfriend.
Yep.
As we all knew we would.
Yep. It was deflated because I had looked too. I even told Annie, I was like, this they have like a bracket estimator and it says I got a 38% chance of winning. And then that was it. I went from like so high to just done in 48 hours.
Did you guys click through all the potential champions to see what gave you the best chance of winning if your team didn't win? Like, if you can choose, like, okay, if this team wins, then what's my percent chance? So, well, I was also basically out, but it was just kind of funny to be like, okay, if NC State wins, I have a 2% chance. Okay. Like, that's good for me. I'll root for that. But then, yeah, all it takes is you losing your champion. And it's like, oh, I had a 40%. I have a 0% chance. I lost the whole thing.
That's why it's so dumb. I complain about it every year. But the way that they do the scoring is dumb. And it's not – the early rounds never matter at all. Like, 0%. You could get zero – well, you can't do that. You could get two out of the 32, right? And if your champion wins and nobody else had that champion, then guess what? You won. And so that's why I almost – like, a couple years ago I picked – Gonzaga to win as the one overall, just so that like my early round picks would matter.
Yeah, you could still have hope near the end of it.
But obviously, even Gonzaga winning was still probably like a 15-20% chance, and they did not win, and so it didn't matter. Like UConn this year should have done that.
I would very much be down for augmenting the scoring system. I know we always just do the default ESPN, but I know there's other ways to do it. B, I think a fun thing could be an incentive if you were the highest score in a round, like get 50 extra bonus points if you had the
or
most.
Or you get to, it's like Chopped or something. You get to create a challenge for other people they have to complete when you're the highest score. Or you can delete one of their teams from the next round. They don't get points for that team's victory.
That's crazy.
You got to redo your bracket, but you can't pick any teams that have an L in their name.
You guys really went sideways with this. I was just gonna say that we could just have a pot of, we could take the money and we could put 20% of the money to the best bracket of the first, but you guys really went took this out.
As then they have to spin around six times, yep, the tail on the team, yep, and that's mm-hmm. they get a new team that's the champion instead of the first one.
All right. Yeah, that's better. Mine's stupid.
After the
Mine's
first
bad.
Round, you can only pick upsets. All right. After the first round, only upsets allowed. So figure that one out. Find the way to get the highest low seed in there. You know what I mean?
That's some work.
Yeah. Isis, yours was stupid. Josh and I, though.
Mine was bad. I'm sorry. We won't do mine for sure.
Yeah.
All right. You do a bracket, and then you play chess, and then you box, and then you do a bracket again.
So just saying, yeah, I love that. Just saying the strategy, Ice, of picking the team that has the highest likelihood to win this year is UConn, and not doing anything else gives you a pretty solid chance of getting third place, and that's where I'm looking right now. Looking at good, and that I'm going to hold on to that medal. Yeah, I feel great. I'm going to remember this from 5 years.
Every year I go in and I say, God, I hope I get top three, but not one.
I hope I don't finish first. That's why I was really hoping my North Carolina bracket was going to be the one that – I mean, that because hardly anyone else picked North Carolina. I felt good about it. And then, of course, it's the UConn bracket that has a chance, and I'll take third to Ian and his girlfriend. That's great.
To the pseudo-AK power couple.
It is. I should have saved you to a bracket this year. That would have won it for us.
Next year.
Who would you have picked? I'll have Sadie do it next year. That'll help me out because I spent, I don't know. I always say I'll do like a random one, but my actual bracket is basically a random one because I spend 2.5 minutes on it. Like, I don't spend any time on it.
Well, and the other thing too, like, it's basically like the analogy of, let's get into the financial world. Am I right, boys? Of mutual funds versus ETFs. Am I right? Y'all know what I'm talking about now, right? Exactly.
We're with you.
Mutual funds are managed by a human. ETF are just, hey, here's a random assortment you follow. And you know what always wins? ETFs. ETFs always win. The money managers, people are like, nah, I can beat the market because I can predict this thing. Historically, they always lose to just the random assortment of computer-generated stocks that you fill into something. And that's basically what March Madness is. Is like you can spend hours and hours and hours And then Ian's girlfriend, who he admitted she spent like 4 minutes looking at it, is going to win it all. You know, and it's just like, in the end, yeah, it's just like a random, you're like, oh, I really, you know, they got a cool mascot. So I really felt like they were going to make a big run. And that logic can get you there, you know?
And also none of us watch basketball during the year either. So college basketball,
nobody,
anyway.
Nobody put research into
except
it.
Except Ian, like, actually. And it worked for him. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we zoomed out on that and came to that conclusion. That's helpful.
Who do you guys got in the girls' bracket? Kai's got Iowa. He wanted to, that on the record.
I think I have to go South Carolina. I just think
I want UConn.
They're dominant.
So
yeah, Who do I have? South Carolina.
I pick who I want. I never know what's gonna happen, so I just pick what will be fun. You know?
Yeah.
That's my philosophy.
All right, I'll take LSU.
Tough pick,
that would be fun.
Yeah, I think that. Well, you just wait. Mulkey's gonna find a way to get him back in. All right.
I can see that honestly.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing about the 3-point lines being different distances?
Yeah,
they agreed to it, so it's fine. Yeah.
The coaches are like, I mean, I guess.
I've heard that idea pitched before of like home field. You know how baseball fields have different, you know, like distances for home runs? Home courts in the NBA, but different like quirks. This one has shorter corner threes. This one doesn't have
a Our 3-point line is sinusoidal. It just waves all over the place.
Yeah, why not?
What a nerd, dude.
Was a wild word you just used.
Sinusoidal, boys.
Sinusoidal.
Push up your glasses over your nose.
You know? Okay, what are okay, shut up. What about 11-foot hoops? That's one of the home
court. That would be a fun one. Yeah, or 10 or feet or half an inch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to say like 8-foot hoops.
Or smaller, like diameter, circumference.
It's like those the ones of the circus that you can only hit it from one angle, and if it hits the right
spot. Yeah. Like a really oval hoop, basically.
And they knew that this would never catch on unless they accidentally purposely did it in a March Madness girls game.
And now here we are.
It's like the XFL,
podcast. Yeah.
Kickoff. It's like, what was it? It's different. Next time.
Yeah, I'm excited for it actually because it's gonna be more kickoffs, and I love the kickoffs. I love kickoffs.
Because you watch the XFL, it didn't change a single thing about kickoffs. Like there were more returns, but it wasn't like a fun returns. Play.
Oh,
you
come
understand
on.
That 10 people lining up across also gives you a very slim chance of like getting a return. So it's just
hey, do you understand that you don't need to be a freaking naysayer about everything all the time?
Now Josh is being the nerd. Sinusoidal.
Nerd. I did watch some XFL games. I watched some film to see what these kickoffs
crunch the. Oh, you did? That's hilarious.
Yep, I did.
Wow, that's actually so. Not a nerd. You just YouTube XFL kickoff highlights.
Gotta be careful.
They're all on ESPN. You can watch them anytime.
Thanks, Josh. Here's the thing. I guess you should know. Ice and I have very little access to all this, you know, cable news.
Yeah, I'd be curious what the listeners
have
to say. Mansky's got to be actually, I picture Mansky as an ESPN haver. But I wonder who else like has it versus doesn't have it, or has cord cutting, or hasn't cut the cord.
What's up? Are you on YouTube TV? Are you on?
Yeah.
Vimo.
Here are my predictions. Mansky has some. He may not have cable, but he definitely has like ESPN Plus and maybe like a YouTube TV.
I know
it's for Mansky.
He has ESPN Plus because he's bragged about it a
couple
times. Yeah.
Brady, no. Brady has none of them. Brady's got nothing.
I'm pretty sure Brady has YouTube TV. I'm pretty sure I know that. But actually, you know
really?
What? Hit us up, everybody. But I'm pretty sure he does. Ian, I think Ian's a cord cutter, in my opinion. We'll have to let us know.
I don't think he's even a cord cutter because I can't even see him ever having a cord in the first place. Now,
that's
a
good point.
He's a wireless man.
What about Frosh?
Frosh, I could see him having. He's got like HBO and Netflix, and that's it. No live TV. He's just got like two. He probably owns one streaming app himself, and then has like two from his friends. You know what I mean? His brother probably gave him one. That's the Frosh. But like, yeah. So Josh, you just pay for cable?
No, my dad pays for cable, and I use his login for it.
Oh, that's pretty nice, actually. Then
It works out great.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Shout out, Scotty Bad Boy or whatever.
Yeah, Scotty O. No, yeah, I I paid for cable till I was like 27, and it was like, okay, so it's $150 a month, and I was like, all I watch is stuff I could probably stream, you know,
or SportsCenter, like, and I'm okay with this not being on my television.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I gotta sacrifice the Oprah Winfrey Network, but that's just part of being an adult, you know.
Own.
That was
own.
The, I remember the day.
Call it own.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Well, I think we covered it.
We
I
did
think in the last 79 minutes.
As soon as we get to the Oprah Winfrey Network, that's when it's time to cut the pod.
That seems fair.
Yeah, honestly, that's just a pod rule.
Yeah, pod rule. Well, once the Oprah Winfrey Network comes up, you gotta cancel it.
I'm sure we'll have another pod come out talk about the NBA playoffs once those are set, because that'll be fun.
Once those are over.
Wait. I do want to do one thing real quick at the end here. Ice, what is your Viking QB prediction? Viking draft prediction?
My official prediction? Yeah, we probably won't talk before the draft.
No, you and I will. You and I talk all the time. Yes,
I will. When's the draft? End of April. So we might. I mean, it'll be right in the same, like, playoffs are starting. Draft is happening. Starting.
Mm-hmm. You know. I want to know now. I want to know now. For.
I think, and it sucks. I think that if you would have asked me a month ago, I would say I think most likely we stay at 11. We take J.J. McCarthy. I hope that we can trade up. That might be a pipe dream. Now, I think what will probably happen is we will trade up to around 5 and take J.J. McCarthy anyway. So, so I don't like that. I hope we can figure it out to get Drake May. That's my favorite one. My takes don't actually matter, obviously, on this. So,
who wins the starting job between J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold in the camp competition?
I mean, yeah, it's a nightmare. Anyway,
yeah, God,
that's the pod.
Yeah, worst possible thing you could have said to me right there was we trade up to get J.J. McCarthy.
I think that's what will happen. It will take for us to get J.J. McCarthy. Or anybody.
Just take Bo Nix.
So I hope we get Drake May. I hate Bo Nix, but my picks don't matter. None of these things matter. I think we're going to get JJ. He'll be bad. I'll be sad. Christian Ponder 2.0.
And with that, we've ended yet another miraculous podcast. We'll catch you when the NBA playoff things come out. We'll all be upset about the matchups that we got. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. And until then, keep watching basketball. See you everybody.
Everything's bad.
Swoosh.